Hey everyone, my name's Leon Kier and welcome back into the studio for another episode of the Be Ready Project. Today's episode is episode 3 of Retire with Rowdy. And it's been another big week for Chris, week 3 of retirement. Rowdy's been out and about all week presenting his keynote presentations. So I sit down with him and talk about the presentations that he's currently doing, the clients he's currently working with, and his goals and objectives of what he hopes his audience is getting out of his workshops. Chris also did some filming for a company called Muscle Chef, so we touch on what's involved in producing a marketing campaign. And as always, Chris gives some great advice about the power of networking, having clarity, and finding the positives with the challenges that you're facing. Here we go, week 3 of Rowdy's retirement. Let's have some fun.
Welcome to the Be Ready Project.
Best advice I can give you, be ready. How do I be ready? It's study.
All right, mate. Welcome to week 3 of retirement for Rowdy. How you going, mate?
Yeah, I'm going good, mate. A bit tired, but it's been a big week.
Has, buddy, it has. So let's talk everyone through it. On Saturday, we did a retirement boys long lunch. Did you enjoy yourself, mate? It was meant to be a bit of a surprise, but the surprise got spoiled. So that sucked. But yeah, how was your day?
Yeah, enjoyed the day. It was really good to just catch up with all mates who I haven't seen, and you know, not only just through COVID, but you know, for 12 months. Good little crew that we caught up for a good drink. Yeah, it was supposed to be a surprise. I know you and Miles had organise it, and then the cat got let out of the bag when I got a phone call from the pub owner and about joining his Oztag team. I said, yeah, mate, I'll join that. And he goes, I might come catch you for that beer on the 10th. And I said, what do you mean, mate? He goes, you know, the one that, you know, Leon and Miles are organising. I was like, oh, really? There we go. So, yeah, you did well, but it wasn't your fault, at least. You didn't let the secret go. But, yeah, it was a big day. I'll tell you what, I thought I'd train myself well the previous week with all that drinking in that first week out, but I thought, oh yeah, I'll be right, and you know, won't be as hungover the next day. But yeah, I was rattled again. I think I'm just getting old,
mate. You know it's a big day when like 2 days later you and I find a tab ticket that we put a bet on and we didn't even know we put it on. And
hang on, who found it?
I found it.
Yeah, well, that's me, because I said to you, and this would have been late in the day too, where a few punters clubs had already bit the dust, and I said, all right, mate, let's go. Last great man, you, let's go. And then was chatting to people, go, are we gone? And you go, yeah, we're gone. I was like, oh,
yeah. I'm telling you, it was big day. But it was all good. We ended up winning like $430. Stoked.
Play on that. Bit of some play money for this week, mate.
Everest, you got a winner?
I reckon I like two horses, and they're roughies too. So, and this probably won't come out before then. So, we'll see how good I am at predicting. I like either Behemoth or Santa Ana Lane has been good to me. They're both Behemoth's about $13, Santa Ana Lane is about $25, and that's one of a couple of big races. Though I've got soft spot them,
mate. You've always been into your punting. Kind of all started back when we were like 17 years old, and we went away to Dubbo for a schoolboy footy camp or competition, and our old man's gave us a bit of money to play around with, which was good. Man, what's it like being, you're so into it? Kind of share why you like it so much.
I think because my old man had a couple of horses when I was young, and you know, they weren't that good, but we got to go to the country tracks and go and watch them. So it was like really good fun. So my dad's always been into it. When I was sort of just a couple of years into first grade, me and all the boys jumped in on a horse with my dad as well. Like real, I think you're in Zelading as well. Yeah.
Zelading, yeah.
So, I mean, it only won 3 races in the country, but it was just like as a mad thrill. And you know what? Being at the races and watching your horse win is as close to winning a game of football. That's the feeling that I can describe it as. So it's like a really good feeling, like, you know, especially when you've got all the owners and that. So I suppose I was just hooked from there. I was more in just love the purchasing, you know, just to be able to be in a share, you know, with the horses. But as you said, I think it was a Catholic schoolboys cup, or I don't know, it was something we were at, and they just wanted to, yeah, they just gave us $20 because they wanted us to piss off. They just wanted to get on the beers. So we went and had a few $2 bets, turned $20 each into $100 each. Yeah, they were filthy because I think they did their asses that night. So they were filthy. We went home prepared for a game, and then they stumbled in at 4 a.m.
I remember when we owned Zelading and we're like, oh, it'd be so good if we get a horse to run in the city and run at Randwick. It'll be mad. And then the next horse we get is Corribiti and got to run in a Group 1. That was awesome.
Yeah, I know. And it ran last, but it still won a Group 1. But you know what? It ran in a couple of big races like that autumn, and every time it ran, the timing of it, I played on the Sunday and travelled. So I remember once I actually missed it, so I had to watch a replay. We were... Because a couple of the boys were in that as well. So I think we're flying to Gold Coast. So we had our phones off. We're like, nah, no one check your messages. Let's watch the replay like on either Tab or Race New South Wales. Like, let's watch it as if it's live because we're on the plane when it actually ran. So I never got to actually watch. The only time I think I watched it once live, and I don't think I ever saw that win live, but was lucky enough to have dark eyes after that and saw that win. But as you said, it was like, oh yeah, it'd be good to get a city runner and then, you know, get a couple others who are sort of, yeah, midweek and they don't do any good. I'm like, nah, fuck it off. If we can't win straight away, get rid of it. Too much money.
Well, mate, it got to a point where we're running every week in Sydney and we weren't even going to the races because we couldn't get there. And, yeah, it was weird that we wanted just a city race and then got those two great horses. So that was fun. All right, mate, so you had a huge week and like a third week out of playing footy, it has been a big week. Monday we caught up, had three presentations back to back. Kind of talked us through what the presentations were and how you felt about them.
Well, first of all, I had to get up early Monday morning and sweat all the alcohol off. I just felt like shit on Sunday, so I'm like, I'm getting up, I'm sweating and getting it all out to make it, because I knew it was a big day and big week, so I need to start it out on the right foot. So I did that. Yeah, so had already booked a virtual workshop with the Australian Radio Network, so KISS FM and a couple others, you know, throughout Australia, and had booked that a while ago. And then last minute, I think I was a late call up to this next one. I think it was like a third or fourth speaker that fell away. But All Saints Senior College at Liverpool, they were having a staff development day and were looking for a speaker to talk about stress management and building resilience. And so got the late call up and managed to squeeze it in and do the virtual workshop out of one of the classrooms out at All Saints, so I could still do both. So basically did the workshop with Australian Radio Network straight into the ones with All Saints. So the one with the Australian Radio Network and like I do have, you know, set keynote presentations and set workshops to run and have run now for the last 18 months, and I'm continually adding to those various different topics. But I do with every sort of new client, every client that comes to me, it's basically, well, what are you after? What are some of the problems? Why have you sort of approached me? You know, so that I can know, okay, what, you know, who I'm speaking to, what are some of the problems? How can I sort of help out? How can I add value? Because I don't want to just go talk about certain things. And again, I relate everything to my story, what I've gone through within footy, into all the different topics I talk about. So, but I don't want to talk about a topic that really has no relevance for the company. So the one with the Australian Radio Network, they were just looking for someone to talk about, you know, about finding your purpose. Again, that exercise about, you know, go seven levels deep, finding your why in those difficult times and just different strategies to help you overcome adversity. Obviously, it's been a tough year for everyone. So that had a lot of people that are really struggling to find that motivation, you know, working from home, you know, being remote, but being a bit isolated. So, yeah, it's sort of, I suppose, tailored my workshop and called it Finding Your Purpose Through Adversity, which is, again, using my story and touching on a couple of key things, you know, the value of diversity. There's always, you know, wisdom, and there's always a positive lesson to learn out of every challenge, setback, you know, finding clarity. Again, I'm a massive believer that if you don't, you're not clear on what you got to do and where you got to get to, it's very hard, you know, get up day in, day out, and, you know, that finding your why, that motivation piece that we've spoken about before, understanding that, because, you know, really know if you know what your motivation is, it's a lot easier to overcome, you know, things that are thrown at you.
One of the big things that we talk about a lot and working with athletes for kind of the last kind of 6-7 years and being out at a speech to retired athletes, one of the big things they always talk about is the power of networking and how important it is to do as much as you can whilst you're playing. So just touch on how you networked and then how you got this gig.
Yeah, through Alex Opacek, so from athlete to business, and that was just through LinkedIn. So, yeah, I've been trying to be a lot more active on LinkedIn. Yeah, I probably should have done a lot more, throughout the last couple of years. We then, got him on a podcast and have been chatting to him about trying to set up, some pathways for athletes to help, provide some pathways to his business. So his business is a recruitment company and places elite athletes in sales roles at the moment and looking to expand. So he just got in contact with me. He goes, mate, do you do any motivational talks? And I said, well, actually, that's one in the business, but, I can deliver keynotes. If you just want me to sit and tell my story, I can deliver a keynote. I got workshops which are interactive. People actually sit and do self-reflection activities because I don't want to, there's some companies and clients where it's like, yeah, okay. And particularly those who don't know sport or haven't followed me, so some don't really care about my story. But if I can relate it to how you can use the things that have helped me, relate it to what they're going through, get them to do a self-reflection activity, become aware in that particular area and actually take something away from it, then it's been valuable. So I said, yeah, like, tell me what do they need. Like, if you just want motivation, I could talk about, one of my keynotes or workshops. So they can just put in contact with the guys at Australian Radio Network, chatted through a few things, and, just went from there.
How'd you feel after it? I know you were tired. What's the difference, actually? What's the difference between presenting on Zoom and then presenting face-to-face?
Presenting on Zoom is harder because you can't get a read off the people. So obviously, you're delivering – when I'm delivering face-to-face, I sort of – and if you've got a tough crowd, it makes it hard. But usually I look around and you can sort of tell the people who are engaged. Like, they're sitting and nodding and they're really engaged. So, you'll scan and I just try and pick out a few people. And if you feel people are engaged, that gives you that sort of kick to, bring that energy. And I suppose on Zoom, you've got to bring that yourself. Best analogy, Zoom's like playing an away game. Face-to-face, like playing a home game. Would be the best analogy. That's like, you got your crowd, you don't need to bring the energy. Zoom, you got to bring the energy. Although in saying that, in Zoom, you can, if you sort of get stuck on a piece, you got your speaking notes, it's a lot easier just to sort of glance at your speaking notes and have no one really know that. Whereas I don't, when I'm presenting, like to hold my notes and I like to sort of move around. So if I'd sort of need to adjust it or if I'm going through my presentation and need to a bit of a reset, it's a bit more noticeable in person.
And then you finished first. We finished off at Liverpool, and you headed out to ASICS to get kitted up, mate. You had a big day Tuesday. So, talk to us about what Tuesday was all about.
Well, even going back to Monday, we had the two teaching groups, and like the first one, and it's like anything. The first one was they were really engaged, and the second one, that was like the last thing of the day, and they came in, and they were like, just you could tell they were tired, and I was just like, looking at the clock and it was like, I think we were running over too, so had to sort of like speed it up, get through it. I thought, because I think I sent the workbooks, they wanted workbooks to Shane. I go, wait, send them across and they can print them out, and then no one had their workbooks. So I'm like, well, they got no pens, no phones, they're not going to be able to do an activity, so I have to scrap that. I just have to make it up on the run. So yeah, the second one was hard, trying to bring the energy a bit, but you got to adapt on the run. But yeah, straight from there to ASICS, got caught in a hailstorm at Marsden Park there, so got stuck there for about an hour. But yeah, sort of got some training gear, which is now needing new sets of training gear, but needed it because on the Tuesday I was filming a TV commercial for My Muscle Chef. So again, just another thing that sort of just popped up just through a mutual contact, known for sort of for a few years through my network, and got in contact with me about the opportunity to do that, and essentially just utilizing a bit of my story, but not only just as an athlete but more as a retired athlete, as a father, a husband and a business owner, and having sort of multiple different hats. So obviously had to didn't have any training gear, couldn't wear West Tigers gear, needed, and a lot of it was, the filming was, you know, doing training. So yeah, needed some ASICS gear. So yeah, good caught in the house on, got home late night, early start Tuesday.
Big day Tuesday. You didn't have to wake up like 4:30.
Yeah, 4:30. Had the, and you know, pretty much all filming was at our house. And yeah, I've done a couple of TV commercials, done a couple of Lowe's commercials, been brushed from that since. I think Kyle Lovett's taken all my gigs. So thanks, cheers, Sarge. But yes, yeah, so I knew sort of what the production would be. I knew it would be big, but yeah, there was a lot more people there. I thought moving around, moving stuff. I was like, oh no, like they're like, no, we'll make sure everything goes back. And but there, it was a 4:30 start. So 4:30, I was up at 4:30. At 10 to 5, there was like 5 people waiting outside my gate, like to come in, and pitch black and everything like that. And then basically I don't know how many different sort of shots and different things I had to do, but it was, apart from having a brekkie break for half hour and a lunch break, it was on the go until essentially sort of 4:30, 5 o'clock, the last person got out of my house. So
yeah, that's crazy.
I was cooked by then.
That was crazy. I remember having a phone call with you, and yeah, I rang you, and I could hear in your voice you were shattered, absolutely shattered, especially after the weekend we had.
Yeah, I think that was the thing too. And I knew the couple of days I had coming up. So on the Sunday after the drink on the Saturday, I was dusty. I'm like, I'm just got to get through. It's honestly, I felt like it was a pre-season day where you're like, just get through to Wednesday, because that's in pre-season. On the weekend, you're like, fuck, Monday, Tuesday, big days. You get through to Wednesday, you're home. It doesn't matter if Friday's hard, sweet. You're in the back end. Like, that's always your mentality. You get through first 2 days, get to Wednesday, you're home. And that's, I was like, I'll just get through to Wednesday. It's big 2 days.
So you got to Wednesday, mate, and you did some filming for the NRL. Share with us, because it was pretty cool what you got to talk about. You got to talk about the lessons that you've learned that are going to help you retire. So kind of share with us what you spoke about on that day.
Yeah, so just did, they're trying to get a lot of filming done with all the retired guys and put together a video for grand final day. So yeah, a lot of it was just talking about, you know, I'm leaving the NRL with, and for me, the sort of couple of things I spoke about is that I'm leaving, you know, the NRL after 15 years with the skills that are going to, you know, give me the opportunity to handle anything that life throws at me. You know, the NRL is one of, you know, probably the toughest sporting competitions in the world. It's a roller coaster. You got to be resilient, you got to be tough, you got to be disciplined, and if you're not, you don't last. Like, so you have to learn quickly how to do that. You have to be adaptable. There's so many different skills that it teaches you. So I feel like having to learn those skills, you know, handle things under pressure, or everything you learn is going to, I'm leaving the NRL with the skill set I know. I've got confidence. Even if I go into something that I don't know anything about, I know I've got, you know, the willingness to learn, to be disciplined, to keep, you know, pushing forward when things aren't working. So, and they're things that I've learned for footy. So that's what I learned, with that confidence that I can sort of handle anything that goes my way. And they also spoke about like what it meant to play in the NRL. And for me, there were probably sort of three things that what it meant to me. The first is like, it was just as a fight, like it was just a dream playing, basically playing the game you dreamed of playing. So as a 5-year-old kid, you know, kicking a footy around non-stop around the house, all I want to do is, you know, play footy. So I got to live a childhood dream straight out of school, which is, you know, rare. And, you know, I understand how the magnitude of that, and I do really appreciate that. And I understand that it was, you know, it is rare. And I suppose the older I get, the more I reflect on that. The mates that I have made, like I've got lifelong mates, you know, the guys that turned up on Saturday for a beer, you know, it's like sort of your real close schoolmates. You might not see them for 12 months. As soon as you see them, it's like, yeah, like you caught up yesterday. And these guys, you know, shared blood, sweat and tears. So these guys went through, you rode the highs and lows of them. So, you know, having those really close mates is, you know, something that I'll take away from playing. And just family, just being able to, every time you run out, you know how proud it makes, you know, your parents, you know, wife and, you know, family, my sisters and now my daughter. I know how proud it makes them, and I know all the sacrifices they've made, whether it's getting me to the NRL, whether it's my parents, all the sacrifice they made, junior footy, and or whether it's my wife, you know, all the sacrifice she's had to make to allow me to play rugby league. I know sort of I'm playing for them. So, yeah, so hopefully the sort of video, you know, turns out well.
Yeah, that's cool, man. That's cool. So, like, life isn't always exciting as it's been, and today hasn't been one of those really exciting days, but you are doing a lot of, I guess, production stuff at the moment when it comes to services that we're going to be offering soon. So, yeah, man, just quickly touch on it. Like, what have you been working on, and, what's the plan?
This week, I'm really busy because we've had the three workshops on Monday, one tonight, Thursday night, and then two tomorrow, Friday afternoon. So, again, because I do have my sort of set ones and, you know, a lot of the key things I speak about, but I make sure each one is tailored to everyone I speak to. So I still got to, you know, complete and do the workshop presentation, my speaking notes, practice it, prepare for it. So basically this week has been about preparing and getting those presentations, those notes ready for me delivering those workshops. So that's a lot of what I've been doing this week. With all my spare time, I've still got a backlog of things I need to get done. I've got to hopefully be done soon. I'm developing an online course called Conquer the Mind, you know, trying to provide basically an 8-step blueprint to, you know, face any challenge in adversity. I mean, it's literally the process that I've gone through that I've learnt, redefined across every sort of injury and helped me get through my facial injury. So it's literally just providing a step-by-step guide to help people overcome any of their challenges. And that's going to be to launch with a couple of the clients we've already got now. And hopefully, you know, within the next couple of months, it'll be launched to the public as well.
Cool, man. All right. So a question I'm going to ask every week, and I really want you to think about it and give us something new every week. So what's something you've learned this week?
Something learned, which is probably not new, but part of it's new, but as part of the workshop this week, I want to do a lot more of looking into, and the research I've done previous about the subconscious mind. You know, I'd done a lot of, been introduced to it and looked at it, and Michael Crossland has done a lot of speaking and whatnot. He's doing a lot of work within that space as well, and I wanted to sort of bring up that topic in one of my workshops, sort of in the workshop tonight. So obviously you have to, you know, look at it, and then the more I look at it, it's things that you're like, oh yeah, I've done that, and then like you start to understand little things that have worked for you in the past, and you're like, now I understand a bit of theory behind it, now I understand a bit of science behind it. But essentially just looking at your subconscious or your mind as two, you know, conscious and subconscious. Your conscious mind, if you think of it as a ship, it's a captain, you know, it's, you know, providing the direction. Your subconscious mind is literally the guys on beneath deck, just, you know, just controlling things there. They don't know where they're going, they just get told what to do. So, you know, if you start to tell yourself something, you know, the conscious mind, if you accept something, the direction you're going, and you tell yourself, the subconscious mind will just do it. So when you start to think about that, it's actually pretty, you understand how powerful it is. And I think of it, and you look at, say, everyone's known someone who's, a really compulsive liar, and you're like, they lie to the point where they believe the lie. And then it's like, well, you can actually understand how that happens. They tell themselves over and over and over about the lie that the subconscious believes it. And it's like, nah, they'll to the death say that the lie is true. And so it can work in a positive and negative way. Like, then you start to think, well, things that I've, you know, told myself, and again, it's a bit, you know, when people talk about mantras, about positive affirmations and things like that, if you start telling yourself things and you start accepting them in your mind, like, yep, this can happen, your subconscious mind then starts to gravitate and just believe it.
Mate, it's funny because we told a story on the weekend, and it was about when Hino convinced himself that there was no strippers on a boat he went on, and how he went to the death with that. So he's probably done the same thing.
Probably, subconscious mind right there.
Nice, mate. So another thing that I know that you've worked on this week is really understanding the week and what you can get done in a week. And I know you actually sent me an email last night kind of keeping yourself accountable and saying this is what I've done this week, but kind of share that advice about, I guess, you've finished footy and you're trying to work out your calendar and work out what you're going to do every week. How have you found that?
Yeah, look, I think still, because the next 2 months anyway, it's going to be still a lot of things that are being developed and things, again, that's my part of my role in the business, product and service development, business development manager. So it's still going to be ongoing development, but a lot of stuff was sort of almost backlogged that I needed to get done. So it was like, well, how much I'm going to set myself this amount in a day, what can I get done? Like, keep myself accountable. I want to try and see if I'm saying I'm going to get these six things done, if I'm going to keep doing that, and then like letting you know, here's what I did these hours, I got four of them done. And if I keep saying four, it's either, well, I'm spending too long, or no, really, I'm kidding myself with how much I think I can actually achieve in a day. So for me, I just want to get a feel for day to day and the hours. And I mean, things happen that pop up that, you know, you need to attend to. So, you know, accommodating for those things. If I then going forward, like, you know, next year when you're obviously full-time in the business and planning of a month and what my role is, because then I don't want to, you know, we sit down and go, okay, that's your role. But then if we sit down and look at it and go, how the fuck am I going to fit that in a month? If we say these are all tasks, not just on a weekly but from a month, working out, well, can I actually get that done? Like, I don't want to set myself up to failure. I want to, you know, challenge myself but be, you know, still realistic, because then if I say I'm going to do something and don't do it, that pisses me off. So that's, I sort of just want to get, for me, that's about, yeah, keep myself accountable just at the start, but just getting a feel for, yeah, how much I sort of can get done and still being able to have some freedom where if things pop up, like if I've got an opportunity to branch out my network and go have a coffee with this person, go meet this person, again, work out what they, how can I add more value to the business? Is that more valuable than me doing this? Well, if it is, then I've got to pull that aside and do that and still work out all the timings with that.
Delegating, mate, delegating.
Yeah.
All right, mate, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. Have a good week and we'll catch you next week.
Thanks, mate.